wish I had like a sexy radio voice, but my voice is very grating and annoying.
We're gonna start over. Oh, Morgan Anderson, how the hell are you?
I'm doing good.
It is so good to see you fucking laughing and smiling right across from me. You know what I'm saying? I see you on the gram all the time, having a good time, but you're so busy is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's good to have tracked you down and trapped you in the podcast studio.
Yeah, I leave out
45 minutes.
All my crying videos.
Do you ever think about posting? Do you have a close friends in Instagram, or is it all your fans?
I do have a close friends list. I sometimes post stuff, but like I just always feel weird about it. Because I feel like my Instagram is more like my professional life and career.
Okay. Yeah, and, you like, do keep it. Yeah.
Posting like little, I don't know. Also, I feel like if I post anything I'm upset about, it just feels like I'm complaining about a life that's like pretty good, you know?
You have the right to complain though.
Ugh, I know, but it's annoying sometimes. Okay. You know, like you see videos where people are complaining about nothing or crying into their phone, and you're just like, come on, man, knock that off.
You're bringing me down. Those should be preceded with the sensitive content warning.
Yeah.
You know?
I'd rather see someone get hit by a car. I don't need a sensitive warning for that, but I do need one for if someone's going to cry and talk about how their mom is upset with them.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's so much bigger like shit to be upset about. Like, right, I have a friend that just complains all the time about like the most meaningless shit, and I'm like, people have real problems.
What's your biggest real problem today in this minute?
Probably that my dad has dementia.
Holy shit, we're going there just right off the bat.
Yeah, right off. Okay. I mean, you asked me. It's been.
I thought you were gonna say like the trap. When did? Okay, so dementia. When did it? Did you guys start noticing it before, like the doctor said it, or looking back on it, you're like, oh fuck, it was there years ago.
Go ahead. Thing is I don't know. My dad's always like, we've never been really close. Like he just gives me money, and like that's our relationship. Like we've never been close. But I did live with him, and he wanted someone to like live with him. He was lonely, so I was like, okay, I'll do it. Plus free rent. So
right.
But I just thought he was an alcoholic because he was drinking all the time. And I thought that the nighttime weirdness was just because he was drunk. And so I was trying to get him sober. And so I'd call my family and ask them to help me. And they would always tell me, he's fine. He's fine. He's fine. He's not an alcoholic. And I'm like, I fucking live here.
Right.
I know that he is. And then finally, one day, like, shit got really bad, and so my two uncles came over to help me, and they finally were like, oh, this isn't good. So we took him to the hospital to get him like sober and hopefully get him into rehab. But once he sobered up, it was like the dementia was like being hidden by his alcoholism. And so once he got sober, it was so apparent that he had dementia.
Do you think the dementia is something that drove him to drink?
No. He's always
enjoyed the drink.
I thought it was normal for your dad to go to bed every night with a full glass of gin with some olives in it.
It's full of olives. It's a vegetable.
That's what I thought. Yeah. And like, I used to live for him giving me his like gin soaked olives when I was a little kid. He would like give me olives, and I would just.
And you would sleep. Thing. And you would sleep so good,
right?
Just all warm and cozy. Yeah.
They've been sitting in there for an hour, however long, just eating all these alcohol olives.
So you don't live with your dad anymore, or you,
no,
you still
he's
do?
In a home now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's not. He can't. Like, I was trying when he got diagnosed, but he needed 24-hour care, and like no one else could or would help me. And like, I need to leave at night. All my jobs are at night. At night, so when he gets weird, that's when the dementia sets in with the sun downing and like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his whole thing was like. He didn't want to wear pants ever. That was the first thing to go, besides his memory.
Pants.
He's like just Donald Ducking it around the house all the time. And like complaining about how cold it is. And I'm like, well, sir, maybe you want to throw some fucking pants on.
Mm-hmm.
But he never would. He would just turn the heater on. And this is like Sacramento in the summertime. It's like 120 degrees. He's trying to throw the heater on. So it's like, I wouldn't notice him like skip around the house to like f- to to the heater and turn it on until it was like 87 degrees inside. And then I'd go see that he'd turned it on, and then I'd turn the AC on, and we'd have this like constant battle.
This was pre-diagnosis, post-diagnosis?
No, post-diagnosis.
Post-diagnosis, okay. Mm-hmm.
When I knew that like he had to be taken care of 24 hours a day.
Okay, okay, that's right.
You and said that was like me, but I had to leave sometimes to do gigs and stuff, so I'd have to leave him home alone because no one in my family would come over and like watch him. So that was, it became apparent that I, like, he needed to go into a home because I came, like, one night I was coming back from a gig and he was like kept texting me like, where are you? And I'm like, I'm down the street. And then I come like pull up to the house and my dog's outside sitting. He would always run away if the door was open, but the door was open. My dad's out front waiting in the driveway with no pants on, and my dog's just sitting right next to him. And I was like, holy shit, my dog knew not to run away, to just sit there and watch my dad.
Yeah, well, the dog was like, the dog was thinking, I'm watching let's hope he doesn't run away.
Yeah, because that's, you know, that's a dementia thing too, is like my dad constantly thinks or thought that we were moving. He was like a spy or something. He'd always be like, we got to get out of here. And he's like packing shit. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We live here. And he's like, no, we don't. I'm like, why do you think you know more than me right now? What's going on? Uh-huh. He'd have like piles of clothes everywhere, and I'd put them away, and the next day he would just have more piles of clothes everywhere. Like, they're always packing, always moving.
And what's the deal with dementia? Like, what brought that on? Is it genetics? Like, is it something you need to worry about?
Probably. I think a lot of it has to do with alcohol too.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a thing called wet brain that happens if you drink so much for so long. Your brain kind of just shrivels up a little bit, and then you have like memory problems, cognitive problems, all sorts of stuff. But dementia is just kind of a thing that happens to people when they age, but usually it happens like later. Mm. And sometimes they, you know, you'll die before it would hit you. But I think like dementia is like kind of a precursor to Alzheimer's, and that always goes into Alzheimer's if you make it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't think that dementia is going to be a problem for me because I haven't been drinking for like 50 fucking years. You know, my dad never stopped drinking.
Right.
And I, like, he was forced to in the hospital, and then I kept him away from alcohol like when he got out. And now my aunt's kind of in charge of him. And so she's been giving him like wine and stuff because he's just been ordering stuff from Safeway. He figured out how, like, he didn't know how to do anything, but I get like,
well, he didn't like need on to, his right?
phone. I mean, even like he would always ask me how to do stuff. And then apparently now he's become like an iPhone genius, and he like downloaded all these fucking apps so he could order like alcohol and candy. He just orders like tons of peanut butter cups and wine.
Fuck yeah.
And so
that's the life right there.
My aunt the other day, because I went over there for like the first time in a while, and I saw alcohol, and I was like, what's going on? Like, why does he have wine? And my aunt's like, well, we've been letting him have wine. He's only drinking like 6 bottles every 2 weeks. And I was like, that's kind of a lot.
Wow.
You know, that's like, and she's like, only my family is just, we're all alcoholics, I think.
Yeah, it's only wine. Because, it's not, we're not letting him drink the hard stuff.
Right. And she's like, I took away all the hard alcohol, and I told, like, I threatened him and said, if you keep ordering hard alcohol, we're going to take all of it away. And I was like, he's not going to remember that. Like, what? Did you write it down on something? Like,
Morgan, I love you.
But so yeah, now he's like drinking, then he fell, broke a bunch of ribs.
Oh my
gosh. So I had to take him to the emergency room the other night.
This is all, when did, from the diagnosis to taking him to the emergency room the other night, what's the time span we're talking about there?
He got diagnosed in July.
Okay.
And then he went to a home in mid-August. And yeah, there was just, there's been a whole a mess of family stuff with that. Like, mm-hmm. But I won't get into it, so just in case they listen to this and like hate me more. But my family does not like me anymore, so I'm not really.
Did they like you before?
Yeah.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Okay. You were always like kind of like the black sheep or the
I've always been the black sheep, like in my like little nuclear family.
Uh huh.
But like
the extended, like the cousins and aunties.
I'm still really cool with my cousins. It's just my aunts, like my dad's two sisters,
mm-hmm.
who are upset with me because I think that they're just projecting because they kept telling me when I was asking them for help that he didn't need any. And then when it turned out I was right, they kind of turned on me a little bit.
Yeah.
Like somehow I was taking advantage of him by living there with him, and like he would buy me stuff because that's our relationship, you know, like our only relationship is like him supporting me financially.
Yeah.
And like I was going to go back to work. He didn't want me to. So he was like, I'm going to pay for all your stuff.
Yeah.
And that was our agreement. And my aunt saw like some bills that he had, and like he had spent a lot of money on plane tickets for me to like do comedy because that's what he like wanted to do for me. And they saw that and they decided that that was me taking advantage of him. So they kind of flipped.
Yeah, because they're not looking at it like his daughter. They're looking at it as.
Yeah, it was weird for sure to have like the people I've known me my entire life all of a sudden think that I'm taking advantage of my father.
Yeah.
Like it was such a weird flip and they were so mad at me. Like I had to move out of my dad's house when he went into the home. And instead of giving me 30 days to move out, they decided that I would have 10, which isn't even like legal to do.
Uh-huh.
But I can't, you know, I'm not going to fucking fight them on it. But my like, and I was like crying when they like had this meeting with me where they told me I was taking advantage of my dad. I have 10 days to move out. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to find a spot in 10 days because I'm still watching my dad 24 hours a day. They're not helping me with that. But I like, I have to move out the same day my dad does. So like, how the fuck am I supposed to find a place to live and watch my dad 24 hours a day? These people like just treated me like fucking shit. And my uncle was like, well, if you can't find a spot, first of all, he told me that I needed to take my dog back to the SPCA because it was going to be too hard to find a spot with a dog.
Oh, fuck.
And
that.
I was like, fuck you. First of all, fuck you very much. I'm not putting my dog back in a shelter. Sorry. And then secondly, he's like, if you can't find a place to stay, there's homeless shelters. I'm like, you guys wouldn't even offer your like to help. Like it was like it. We have not had a relationship since then. Like they invited me kind of to Thanksgiving and I was like, nope.
Good for
sorry,
you.
Sorry, I'm gonna be out on the road anyway.
Because you know what? If they'd have invited you to Thanksgiving, it wouldn't have been a handout. It'd have been a let's put Morgan on display,
right? And they like say shit to me because my plans are to move to LA. And last time I saw them, it had been like a month since I moved, and my aunt like just kind of like digging at me was like, "Have you moved to LA yet?" Knowing full well that I fucking haven't.
Yeah,
and like so did my uncle, and like it's just like, why would you like choose to treat someone like that?
It's their gosh, we could get like it's their own shortcomings,
their own shit.
Right, it's their own shit that they never dealt with that they're gonna
also
make sure
my
that,
uncle's just a straight up fucking asshat regardless of like what situation it is. He's like insane, and my whole family is like just kind of toxic. Like everyone has a weird role in this like toxic mess. And, like, my role has always been kind of the black sheep, and I do whatever I want. And, you know, they always accepted me until now. And, like, it's just been, like, I've had weird stuff with one of my cousins when we lived together. And, like, she used to get wasted, and, like, she turned her location on so I could come find her and, like, pick her up. And, like, we got in a fight one day about it, and I yelled at her because I was like, I'm sick of, like, not knowing if I'm going to find you, like, dead. Or if you're going to get alcohol poisoning. And I like every night I'd pick her up, I'd sit in the bathroom because she'd be throwing up. And so I just sit in the bathroom with her all night, and I finally lost it. And then she was like, well, I can't live with you anymore. And like told her parents that I yelled at her and like I was horrible to live with and like all this stuff. So her and I haven't had a good relationship after that either. My brother and I lived together, and it was a shit show living with him. And that's why I moved to Sacramento. Like, when my mom died, I had to find him a place to live because he wasn't doing it on his own. He lived with my mom, and I was selling her house.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, well, if you're not going to move out, like, I can't have you in Santa Cruz. It's too expensive. So I moved to Sac with him and got, like, a condo. And then he moved out without telling me. Just, like, left one day. No 30-day notice. No nothing. Like, I was on a trip for a week, and I came back, and all his shit was gone. And I was like, cool.
Man, Morgan.
My family's so fucked off. And, like, for so long, I was, like, like had so much shame about it because I felt like it was all my fault. Like my brother moved out because I can't live with anybody, and like my cousin moved out because I'm terrible to live with. And it's that my brother grew up thinking because my mom treated me like shit, thinking that it was okay to take from me without giving back, because that's how I grew up. Like my mom loved my brother, hated me. So that's how my brother views me. Like I realized that, like, now. And like just keep, you know, he can poke and poke and poke at me, and like then I freak out, and then he can be like, well, Morgan's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So my family is a fucking shit show, so that's why I don't have one anymore. I just have my friends, and they're my family.
Isn't it? Yeah, like our chosen family.
Yeah,
like our tribe.
It's way more important.
Yeah, I get it. And I just add to that, like, there's a fucking living room in there, the sofa. Like, you ever need a place to crash, you know, you're crashing here, right? We got good coffee. Do you drink coffee?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yep.
But I just really wanted a protein shake, plus I got an energy drink.
Oh yeah. And
Adderall. So like,
you're fucking sad. We got weed too if you need that.
No, you're not a big
stoner,
weed.
Huh? I don't think I've ever gotten high with you. I don't think I have.
I don't really get high.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, but not.
I hear you. Yeah. We all got a cult.
I'll do everything else. I accidentally did meth recently.
Oh, fun, right?
Actually, I was like, this is kind of better than coke.
Well, it's more cost efficient.
It's more cost effective. I didn't feel like shit in 45 minutes. Uh-huh. I didn't feel like shit after like
45 hours.
Right. Meth now is like not the same, I guess, as it was. I talked to a friend about it, and he was like, dude, in the 90s, it was the shit. You could stay up for 3 days.
I used to have to hide it from myself, like, because it was just too good.
The new stuff, it lasted. I stayed up until 6 in the morning.
Mm.
But like, that was, I expected to be up for 3 days, you know? Uh-huh. I was like, I'm going to get so much done.
did you ask for your money back?
I didn't even pay for it. That's what I thought it was coke. I'm an idiot. And I was like, this burns a lot.
That when the first time I did meth was like that too. I was like, I thought this didn't burn. And they're like, oh shit. Tell you what, let me give you $5 back.
I should have known it was meth because I did it with this fucking dude that looked like a fisherman and he lived in a van. Why do I do drugs? Like, I have no regard for my own aliveness.
Was this on the road? Was it here? Was it here in Sac?
Because in Placerville.
Oh, fucking guys, another clue that was meth. Yeah. Yeah,
right.
That Placerville show, I swear I was gonna message Ivy Cordova and ask her if I could tag along, but I had a Dear Abby show, but I knew Ivy was gonna be passing through Sacramento.
Yeah, and she's rad. I love her.
I was like, oh my god, I would love to spend an hour on the road and then see Morgan as bonus. And I was about to message them, but then I double checked my schedule and I had Dear Abby that night, and I was like,
But
I would have loved to have been just fucking.
It was a fun show. There wasn't like.
Well, Placerville's a fun fucking place. They got meth. They got vans.
I love Placerville.
You know, I love Placerville too, but like, I could never live there, but I love it. The crowds are always rowdy.
Thinly veiled racism.
I grew up.
They're all, we call it Hangtown. I'm like, oh, you should call it Lynchtown. And they're like, no. We hung anybody. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's good. I grew up in Bakersfield, so.
But. Like, they were like, it was horse thieves that we were hanging. I'm like, okay, but were they also people of color?
I'm not even gonna go down this road. I'm gonna say something.
Fucking Placerville. Like, we hung some white people too. Like, well, they look white. I don't know.
I wasn't sure if this was my phone and I was touching it.
But I love Placerville, just not for that reason, but it's just a kind of a cool town now. There's a lot of weird crystal shops.
Oh, really?
Tarot stuff. Yeah, I did a show at a bookshop, and the guy that owned the bookshop, I forget the name of it,
Did they pay you with the tarot reading?
They gave me tarot cards. I got paid a little bit, but they also gave me tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
And they're mushroom tarot cards, which mushrooms are my favorite thing.
Is it the Empress?
Mate?
It's like a mermaid outside.
No, it's this bookstore that's like a maze. Fucking forget what it's called. Labyrinth.
I don't know. That sounds like that's a good bookstore name.
Yeah.
I think it's called the labyrinth, now that I think about it. Because I'm like, the inside's like a maze. It's like a labyrinth.
What's the craziest way you've ever been paid? Like a combination of like, look, we're going to give you like $20, some Coke, and 4 drink tickets. What's the weirdest combination?
I wish it was Coke. They always try to pay you in like, the show I did at the Green Room, they like brought all this like weed everything to us. It was like hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of weed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do they not sell mushrooms yet? Like, so I did get paid in real money. I'm trying to think of like a weird way I've gotten. I mean, not getting paid is a weird thing that I've also done.
The not getting paid thing is always so awkward. Like, you're like, wait, did I read the message wrong? And like, you look at the message, you're like, no, it says fucking $50 right here. And
I hate that. I hate when people say they're going to pay you, and then they're like, well, no, I never said that. And then I got a screenshot where they fucking, I've done that a couple times, and it's like, I hate that. Don't fuck with a comic. Like, we're already making no money. Fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Like, and the producer's making so much more money than they're giving out to comics, I think. Like, especially in like cities and stuff where these like shows are selling out and they offer you $35, and I'm like, I'm not driving to San Francisco for $35, bro. Right. Like, that's less than the gas that I have to buy to get there.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, and oh, well, it's great there. Exposure.
That's not bad. Fucking, no, it's not.
But I hate
great
that.
Exposure. Yeah. Okay.
Do like all, and I'm not trying to shit on any town at all, right? I'm not trying to shit on any town at all. But
except San Francisco.
Do all shows in any city, regardless, like try to pitch themselves as great exposure? Like I get it's great exposure and it's a great show, but like do shitty shows, but like try to be like, it's great. Of course they do, right?
I don't do shows like that anymore. I refuse. So nobody's really reached out. I've had to say no to a couple gigs in San Francisco, especially just because the money wasn't there. And I'm like, it's not going to be great. The only shows that I will do for exposure are like roast battle shows mm-hmm. in LA.
Well, and you're so good at that.
Yeah, I've been on kind of a losing streak recently.
Have you been? I don't have your latest baseball card, but what's...
Yeah, the latest battle I lost to this cute little gay kid, Jake Hart. I love him. He's so cute. I lost to him. It was a pretty even battle, so it could have gone either way, but...
I want to say that Lexi Acinelli, do you know them?
Right? Oh, my God, yeah. She's...
I want to say that Lexi Acinelli was sitting. She was sitting here and saw your signature on the wall right over there when you signed it.
I forgot.
It.
Yeah.
And she was like, "Morgan Anderson, I'm such a fucking fan. I fangirled so hard when I met her."
Oh, that's so cute. She said that. She's so fucking good at roasting. Like her writing, like I've told her that. Her writing is so amazing.
She's just so funny. You know, she's just so talented at like what she does, that like when it seems like she can choose anything, and she's such a good student that she'll figure out how to make it work. Like,
oh yeah,
she's one of those types of people, you know.
And she's so nice too.
Yeah, she.
I don't have that going for me.
She
but.
Fangirled the fuck out when she saw your name, and
that's cute.
And she talked about how like when she saw you somewhere that she went up and was like, "I'm your biggest fan." Or like, do you remember when you met her? Was it kind of weird?
Oh yeah, because she was cute though. It wasn't weird.
No, I know, but I'm just nice. Fucking with her a little bit. Yeah,
right. She's gonna listen to it and be like, "Morgan, talk shit about me on the."
No, I do not think Lexi listens.
Lexi, I'm not talking shit about you. If you are listening, I love you very much because I think you're hilarious.
Everyone loves Lexi, and I think she's hilarious.
I know you can't not like her because she's so sweet.
I wanted to not like her the first.
Really?
The first time I met her. Well, I didn't even meet her, and I told her this story. I think I may have left out the part that I wanted to not like her. But the first time I saw her was at an open mic at the Golden Bear, and like it was a bunch of comics that I didn't know, mm-hmm. right? And I was sitting there, and she walked in, and everyone just gravitated to her, like, Lexi. And, like, she had this aura about her. And I remember thinking, you know, and then I met her, and I was like, I get it. She deserves that. Yeah.
Well, when people fawn over someone, you instantly are like, oh, they're probably, like, full of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
She's not.
Yeah. And then I met
her. She was at Skankfest with me. And her battle against Josh Means in the naked roast battle.
Uh-huh.
One of the best roast battles I've ever fucking seen in my life. She was so good. Like afterwards, I gave up and like I came up and gave her a hug and like said how good she did, and she was like, "Oh my god, I can't believe you're saying that."
I'm telling you, she's a Morgan Anderson fangirl.
I love that.
Yeah, you know what I love is like
I only want fangirls. I don't want fanboys.
When and since you know when I brought the podcast back, it was to start talking to all the cool young chick comics in town, because there's this thing going on in town right now with all these like. The Lexi Acinelli's and like Lizzie Bowen and like I'm not trying to I'm forgetting names, but they're just the ones that came to mind. And a lot of them, they're like, when they see like your name and like Ashley Monique's name, they're like, oh my god, like we look up to them. And they're like, how's it feel to be that? Do you realize that you're that to this younger generation?
No, not even at all.
It's even feels weird calling it generation, like the current
but they
way.
Are, yeah, it is like the next, you know, but, like the next class, I guess.
Yeah. And one thing that I've gotten to talk to about some of them about, and maybe you could shed some light on this too for yourself, is like, because you kind of touched on it a little bit right now, is like, I won't do shows. Like right now, they're at the point where they'll do any show.
I know.
Right?
And they'll get over that.
And they'll like, Where did you find that, and how are you happy about finding that? You know what I'm saying? Like, when did you realize I don't have to do every fucking show?
When I realized that I was a fucking good comic and I should be paid for it.
Right. Do you say...
And, like, I know that I'm good at comedy. That's, like, the one thing that I will tell anybody that I'm good at. Everything else, I don't know. But I know that I'm fucking good at comedy. And I know that I pretty much always bring it. I have my off times, you know? Or like audiences that don't, you know, like what I have to say. But I'm pretty consistent. And like, if you're not willing to pay me for my time, I'm not willing to give you my time.
Right.
This is my job, you know? And if they're making money, then everybody else should too.
Right.
And they're like, a lot of them will be like, well, I don't even make money on this show. And I'm like, bullshit. And even like, producers like Ben Rice, I love him because I know that he's not making very much money on his shows, and he consistently every time pays comics. I love him. He's a great fucking producer. He's a great guy, and so everyone should produce like he does.
I've done a spur of the moment guest spot at a Ben Rice show that there wasn't a lot of people at and gotten paid.
Yeah,
like, you know what I'm saying.
He has integrity and like morals and. You know, and I think it's wild that like some comics that are producing shows aren't paying other comics.
It's wild to me.
They're like they talk about exposure, and you're like, dude, this is a fucking brewery in Sacramento.
Yeah.
What exposure?
Yeah.
There's going to be 35 people in there. What are they going to do? Just all get so pumped on you that they talk about you to everybody all the time? Even then.
I almost said none of them write for Carson, but...
Okay. You, that dead guy?
Is he dead? I'm going to say yes.
I think he is.
Okay. Yeah, but I get it. Yeah, not for the exposure.
Otherwise, he'd be like 90 years old. He could be.
Is that what you would tell? Is that what you would tell Lexi right now? What would you tell Lexi right now if she was in the room? She's like, oh, I'm really struggling with comedy, which she's not. But what would you tell her?
I mean, if a show is worth it, if like... I'll do a free show if I'm like it's at the Punchline or somewhere where I know that I can set up a camera and get a really good clip, then it's worth it because then I'm able to like monetize that show in other ways. You know what I mean? But if you're just doing something at like a brewery and not getting paid and you're not going to get a good clip because it's loud in there, and so you're basically, it's going to be like you weren't even there. Don't be there. Like, don't do it.
Do you still record all your sets?
Not all of them, but most of them.
Died in 2005. Been dead for a while.
Died
19 years ago. Or like, died a long time ago. I don't math.
I'm good at comedy. I'm not good at math, especially subtraction. Addition, I'm okay at. Subtraction,
no, no, I only go forward. I don't go backwards. No, you heard about my trauma?
Forward, right?
Oh, man. We're talking about Lexi. I would tell her
to not. If a show is worth it to you, and nobody can tell you if it is or not, then do it.
That's why I transitioned to. Do you still record all your clips? Like, do you still record every set?
Not everyone. Like, if it's gonna be, I try to, but if I know it's gonna be shitty, Sometimes I haven't, but I try to record everything. If it's not on my nice camera, because I know it's just a shitty venue and I won't have anywhere to put it,
mm-hmm.
I'll record it on my phone, because you never know what's going to happen. You know,
that's
like
the whole thing, right?
Sometimes you have like a really cool moment that's never going to be able to be repeated. You know, you say something or you riff on someone, and if you don't record, like, you're going to think about that. And I fucking have. And I think about it all the time.
No two sets are ever alike, no matter what, like, that you did the same joke structure, like, it's never, because maybe you emphasize the different word, or like,
yeah,
no two sets are ever alike.
Yeah. And like, especially for me, because I don't like doing the same jokes in the same order ever, so I kind of just do a different set every time, and I try to riff a lot, and I try to like just have fun.
Do you write shit down before you go on stage? Do you have a little notebook to yourself, or do you do it all in your head, or do you do it on your phone?
I do have a notebook. If I'm headlining and doing like an hour,
uh-huh.
I have a notebook, because especially because of all the different cities I go to, I try to do the first couple minutes, first 5 minutes, just jokes about whatever city or town I'm in. Sometimes it's like really hard because they're just in the middle of nowhere and like weird, and there's like it's just so generic, you're like, well, I don't know what I'm gonna write about, but I try to like do something different. But if I'm like headlining and doing like an hour, I bring my notebook up, because I can't remember, like, I just write, I have like every joke like a song title, like it's just one word or something, and mm-hmm. I just write a bunch of them down, and like I kind of skip around. And
are you ever not able to read your own handwriting?
No, I can read it. I always write in caps.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I don't, like, if I'm just writing, I'll write, like, cursive, which nobody knows how to do anymore, I guess.
My hand hurt last time I tried to do cursive.
It's like, I can't write fast enough for my head, so I'm, like, trying to get it all out. My hand's cramping, and I'm like, don't you do it!
I'm trying to learn the new discipline of, like, dictating to a note so that it just writes it for me.
Yeah,
but I'm not always in that headspace, but it does help me a lot more.
And if you're in like a crowd, it does help me too, but if you're in a room or anywhere with other people, and I'm just like, to, you know, all of a sudden I get ideas for my joke on necrophilia, and like I don't want to just super loud into my phone.
Still working on that one.
I still have not I have not got it all the way like I want it to, so I haven't been doing it, but I love that joke so much, and I've only told it one time.
I heard it.
I know you were there. It was at that open mic. That's the only time I've ever told it.
Which open mic was it? I remember, go ahead. Which
one? I thought
I needed to talk more because I saw you taking a sip.
Oh, fuck, the place that's closed now.
That helps a lot, Morgan. The place downtown that closed. Did they sell beer?
Yeah, they only sold beer and wine. It was owned by that, like, I don't remember his name either.
Oh, was it the, no, never mind. I'm not going to guess it. I'm not
going to. It was on the corner. I don't know what street it's on.
Anyway, I was talking earlier today about, I met you at a show at Punchline that was like the Wednesday night before the pandemic happened.
That was my first show at like Punchline and pretty much ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had one other show before that.
And I remember like I had seen you on social media before, and I remember like meeting you that night and thinking, oh, Morgan and I are going to be pals, which we are. But then the pandemic hit, and then boom, it was over.
Yeah. I mean, it was my comedy career has been kind of weird because of that pandemic, and like thank God I had that Punchline show, and thank God Nick Larson was there doing video, and thank God I had a really good set and I had the video, because the pandemic shut everything down in California, and I was like, well, what can I do, where can I go? So I just like went on the road and did a bunch in like Oregon and Washington, and like started meeting a lot of producers and networking myself, and like, and that's, I think, why I'm not, like, trying to get past at Punchline. I don't care. Because they want you to hang out for so long.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're a new comic, you're willing to do that. But if you're a working comic, I'm not willing to just go hang out. at a comedy club, so they see me and pass me, and then I get one weekend of hosting every 6 fucking months.
Yeah, that's a crazy grind that a lot of people do. That's
$400 a year. And hanging out for hours and hours and hours for $400 a year?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck off. No.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, maybe I'll get past there. I don't know. But I'm just unwilling to, like, do some of the stuff that they require. I'm like, if they think I'm funny enough, they'll pass me.
Yeah.
I think it's weird where that, like, a lot of these, like, bigger clubs think that you just want to hang out there all the time. Like, Comedy Store? I'll hang out there all the time. That makes sense to me. Punchline? Not to be a dick, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like going. I like hanging out there, but I'm not going to drive all the way to San Francisco every Sunday night to hang out and, like, waste $100 in gas to make back $2 of that.
Not only the drive, but, oh my god, parking in San Francisco is just like, yeah, the whole, yeah.
Well, there's actually a nice, like, parking there is pretty easy. Parking?
Okay.
Because they have this whole back street.
I've never been. I don't know.
Yeah, I've been a few times. I've gotten up one time, but for every 7 times I go, I get up one time. It's not really worth it to me. That's and rough. It's for 7 minutes. I'd rather be on the road. I'd rather be doing hour-long sets. I'd rather be learning how to be funny in front of audiences across the United States instead of how to be fucking funny in San Francisco. Because San Francisco is one of those towns that you can't replicate what they think is funny. And that's not replicated anywhere but, like, fucking Portland.
Those
cities, yeah, can fuck off with, like, what they think is funny, which is all politically correct and, like, I don't know. It's just like a very, I think, ignorant form of PC-ness.
I think it's what it's like. It's very much like inside the bubble, right? Like, this is where they're going to stay.
PC-ness just sounds like I have a stutter and I was trying to say penis.
PC-ness. What are you doing with some of the other stuff? And maybe this was a pandemic thing, but, like, you were a great, like, video content creator. Like, you did these great collaborations with your troupe, Love Horrors, and then you did these great videos that you did this great. Were they a couple? Were they cousins? What were they?
Danny and Tammy.
Danny and Tammy that you did with
Daniel
Humbarger. Do you have time to fiddle around with that kind of stuff anymore, or are you not even focused on that?
I would have. I mean, it's hard to do by myself. Like, Love Horrors is kind of not doing anything anymore. They're a lot busy. I'm busy. Mm-hmm. Daniel moved to Hawaii, so we can't make any videos anymore. And, like, it's hard just coming up with stuff on my own and filming it and editing it and doing all of that.
But I think you miss it, because, like, I've noticed when you're on the road and you're on the road with a road buddy, you post a lot of, like,
when I like the person. when I posted a lot of stuff with Lauren, like, she's my best friend.
Uh-huh.
We got to go on the road together. I'm going to post everything because we have so much fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like,
and it's good though too. It's not boring. Like, sometimes people do that and you're like, oh my God, are they still in fucking Disneyland?
Yeah.
You know?
I know. I think I need to just do more. I think I don't really realize that people don't get annoyed by my videos.
What about your old
thing? Or maybe they do.
What about your old thing of when you used to post roasting dudes off of, what was that?
Hinge and Tinder.
God. Were you not in that headspace anymore? Was that therapy? Was that something that helped you get through something?
No.
Oh, okay. I was just like being mean.
I'm just single, and, like, looking at trying to date online just makes you so cynical about what the fuck is left. It's just a bunch of.
Is it like showing up late to the
orgy?
No. It's showing up late to the charcuterie board, and you're like, oh, what the fuck? This looked like it was good at one point.
I feel like it's showing up late to an orgy and everyone's already paired off except for one fucking dude, and you know why that one fucking dude hasn't paired off with anybody yet.
Mm.
And he's probably got an STD.
Well, I mean, you know. It's 2023.
The older you get, I mean, the more chances that someone you date has an STD, and I don't want AIDS. I'm very afraid of that, and it's not really a thing. Like, it's not going to happen, probably, but, like, that's, I'm terrified. Every time I get an STD test, I'm like, it's going to be full-blown AIDS. I know it. And then I spend 2 weeks, like, just with high anxiety.
2 weeks? Mine, I get mine back, like, in 3 days.
Well, whatever. It feels like 2 weeks.
Oh, okay. I was like...
And then they're like, we're not going to call you if it's okay. And I'm like, what? That's a... What the fuck is it? Call me either way. And then they always call you. And so you're getting this call, and I'm like, oh, no, I have AIDS. Yo,
let me pull over.
And then they get on the phone, and they're like, no, you're good. I'm like, you said you weren't going to call if I was good. Fucking make up your mind. Because my life flashed before my eyes. I just thought of the movie Philadelphia, and I just...
It's the saddest fucking movie ever.
Just me as Tom Hanks. Or it's Tom Hanks, right?
It's Tom Hanks, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's still alive.
Me in a hospital bed as Tom Hanks. The sores everywhere. Ugh.
Oh, that's such a...
And then they tell you you're fine. And I'm like, well, it could... Is it at least chlamydia?
Right.
Did you call me for a reason? Or... It's crazy.
So you hate the holidays?
No. I don't hate the holidays. I like Christmas. I like all the lights and all the stuff, and it's cute. I hate the commercialism around it. I fucking hate that you're told to buy everything. I'm like, can we just pump the brakes on this shit? Because then alternatively, you're told by all these corporations that we're making all this trash, and like the consumer is, it's our fault. And I'm like, you make so much shit and put it out there, and like, with your weird marketing tactics are like molding people's minds to want to buy stuff all of the time. And then when they do, they're blamed for it. It's like corporations are just gaslighting us all the time.
Mm.
And I hate that. I hate that, like, to celebrate, you have to buy someone a present all the time. And like, can't we just hang out and like eat food and like be together? Why do we need to buy 75,000 pieces of junk that you're not gonna want?
That's breakable.
My favorite is like a fucking white elephant. Nothing pisses me off more than a white elephant, because you gotta go somewhere and buy something that you know is a piece of shit.
Yeah, you purposely buy the fucking biggest piece of shit because it's so much fun to see somebody get stuck with that.
I know, but like, shouldn't it? I don't know. I think it's better if you're just like, find something in your house.
You could be the one that shows up to the white elephant with the good gift.
That's what I mean. Who cares though? It's just like, I think a better thing would just be like, find something in your house that you want to get rid of but haven't figured out who to give it to, and that's your white elephant thing.
Mm, have you ever regifted?
Probably.
Have you traded gift cards for cash?
No.
I've traded gift cards for a gift card at a different store
of lesser, drug dealer.
Of lesser value. Of lesser value. It's like that in Broad City. Do you remember in Broad City when they fucking take all the electronics back and they want money, but they give them in-store credit and then they use it to buy weed?
No, I haven't. I've watched Broad City, but it's a long time ago. I feel like I've done that. I've taken gifts back, like to try to get cash, and you get a gift card and you're like, oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll like sit there and try to Karen out for a minute to see if they'll like cave and just give me cash. If I bitch about it, then they're like, get this cunt out of here.
Can you go from zero to Karen and pretty quickly? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Is it a learned skill? Like, has it been handed down generation to generation? Like, when you look back
at it? My mom's for sure a cunt.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And my dad was worse than her though.
Really?
Oh my god, in restaurants, if he wasn't playing the flute when nobody asked him to, he was complaining loudly about the no substitutions policy was his favorite thing to fucking yell about. We got kicked out of a Japanese restaurant once because my dad threw such a big fit that they wouldn't substitute something. He like fucking freaked out. He's the only one that got kicked out though. My mom was like, fuck it, we're sitting here. And then me and her and my brother ate there, and my dad's like wandering around the town because we were all in the same car. He had nowhere to go, so he's just angrily walking around while we eat food. And I
how was it good?
What
The food.
I don't remember, Jesse. Fuck, I was like nine. That's
the best part of the story.
No, it's not.
I know. I was fucking with you. Where's your show at tonight?
The Comedy Spot.
Oh my Midtown. Gosh. Have you? You know, it's fun. But I hope
there's people there.
I hate parking. There'll be people there. There's always people at the Comedy Spot.
What's more Thursday than five. Night?
Who else is on the show with you? Do you know?
Aurora sang. Drew, obviously, because they always do shows together if it's in Sacramento. And I think Bobby Emoto, actually. Which
a lineup.
I'm really excited because I fucking love doing shows with him. And I haven't really done many shows with him.
Love about Bobby or Robert Emoto, I don't know what we're calling him.
I don't know. I think on the flyer it said Bobby.
Does it say Bobby?
Maybe I just know
what you're going to get. Like, just like, well, you said you don't like doing the same set. Mm-hmm. Again, and I don't think I've ever seen Robert do the same set again. Yeah. And somebody might look at him wrong in the front row, and then it's fucking game on.
Oh yeah, he flips out, like, in a good way, and he just like goes off. I love that. I love watching that because he's so good at like riffing.
Yes,
and he's so
like
quick.
I want it to go back. It's like when, I don't know if you listen to Mark Maron's podcast, like when you know something ticked Maron off and he's gonna go off the rails on one of his tangents, you're like, fuck yeah, here we go.
I don't listen to a lot of any comedian podcast.
They're horrible. Why do they do them? No, I love Maron's podcast. Like, he's listening, right? I'm like,
right, he's gonna be like, judge you.
My two favorite Robert Emoto jokes are the joke where the girl's giving him a ride on the handlebars.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
And where his dad orders salmon at Sizzler. Have you ever heard that one?
I probably have. He said that
his dad complained about how well they made his salmon at Sizzler. And he's like, what the fuck? No, at Denny's or something like that.
Yeah, somewhere where you wouldn't order fish.
Yeah, he said that his dad was complaining about the salmon at Denny's. He's like, even the order was like, we got salmon?
I order steak a lot at Denny's.
You can't really fuck up a piece of meat. Like, just fucking, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I mean, I always order, like.
Do you steak and eggs?
Yeah, I love steak and eggs, and I always order it like as rare as they can legally do it, which is a risk because it's Denny's.
So it's not gonna be great to begin with. No,
it's better if it's not well done steak. Nothing pisses me off more than when someone orders a steak and they say well done.
I'm like, why are we even dining together? Like, how did I not pre-screen this out? Like, how did I not see that you were a fucking lunatic if somebody orders a steak well done?
I can't even imagine. Like, I grew up with a family that like are ranchers and stuff, so like I have never eaten a piece of meat that wasn't rare.
I go medium rare.
Medium rare is fine.
I like the steak of Sizzler.
Anything with the word well done in it, because it's not, it's the opposite.
I get what you're saying.
Just say burnt. Dry. Can I have this steak dry,
please? Do you put steak sauce on it?
Not if it's good. Like, no. I think a perfect steak is just salt and pepper, and then you grill it so it's rare, and then there's like all the juices or blood or whatever. Kidding. It's not blood.
Can you grill a good steak?
Yeah.
What about in a cast iron skillet? You ever done that?
Mm-hmm.
I like them better. And it's less cleanup. Yeah. Hold on. I had to cough.
We heard you.
Oh, did you? Covering the mic.
Nope.
Nope.
We heard you. Everyone just got COVID. Sound
like an old man. You asked me earlier how old I was. 52.
Oh, I was, yeah. When I thought you that? Just ignored. It was before we started recording.
Oh, okay.
Well, it was the first recording that we messed up on.
I'm only answering the question because you said, what are you, like 70? And I had to at least like correct
it. I didn't say, what are you, like 70? That was the joke was that you're 75.
Oh, okay. But
and I'm 28.
You are. You don't look a day older than 32.
Well, I'm 28, Jesse, so fuck you. Just kidding, I'm fucking way older than that. But I've just started saying it because I hate saying how old I am and people being like, you look really good.
I have
no. And I'm like, for fuck you. What am I supposed to look like?
I have
like
no just idea.
A decrepit.
I have no idea how old you are. Like, you haven't aged since I met you.
Yeah.
Like, you look the same.
37.
Okay. Sure. You might be lying. I don't know.
Botox helps.
Does it?
Yeah, because I have a really expressive face, and I like doing Botox, so then
because then you'd lose the expression, and then they can't tell when you're just giving them the.
Yeah, so no one knows what I'm thinking, because it's very apparent if someone says something. My whole face does a thing, and I can't control it.
How do you do Botox? Do you do that to yourself, or do you got to go to a salon or something for that?
If I could do it to myself, Jesse, I would, because it's very expensive.
Okay, so you got to go somewhere and someone Botoxes you.
I'm actually due for some, because I can move my eyebrows, and that's not what I want. I want to have a dead face.
No. Well, I mean, that's what you want.
Just, from the eyes up, I would like to not move.
Uh-huh. What about the hair? Are you happy with the hair right now?
It's blue.
I like it. You like it?
Yeah. It's my favorite. I keep re-dyeing it blue, and my shower looks like a Smurf orgy.
Did you have to mess with the blues to finally get the blue you liked?
The first ones were too dark because I don't bleach my hair to dye it, so my hair is kind of a light brown, so it doesn't dye doesn't really it's like always way darker. So the first pass was like way too dark, and you couldn't really tell it was blue. And so I waited for that to wash out, and then I found this like really good splat bright blue that looks pretty good. So sticking with that until I, got the balls to like spend money and go to a salon and have it done like how I really want it. Because then I have to keep doing it.
Right on, right on. Morgan, I know you got to be somewhere soon. I wrap up the podcast with this segment called 5 Easy Questions. And can I spring them on you right now?
Yeah, sure.
Question number one, Morgan, who or what inspires you?
I think just life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I don't know, making people laugh, I guess. Making people that have had a bad, like thinking about someone who's had a bad day and they come to a show and they laugh. Like I recently did a show and I'm trying to try not to cry, but this guy came up to me afterwards and I was headlining, and it was somewhere in like Ohio or something. And this guy came up to me afterwards and he was like, "My wife just died."
Holy shit.
Yeah. And then he was like, "This is the first time I've laughed since she died." And like his daughter, like he brought his daughter, and like she was crying, and like they hugged me, and like it was such like a beautiful moment. And like that's the type of shit.
Fuck yeah. Like
why I do like what I do and why I love what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
All right. That's fucking great answer. Number two. What are you currently binging right now? Like, what's the like a TV show or like a book series or something that you're just soaking it up? You like discovered this a month ago. You're like, "Oh my God, I want all of it."
Nothing. If you have any ideas, I've been watching. I started The Golden Bachelor.
Okay. Is that one of those reality shows?
Yeah, but it's a senior citizen one, so it's fucking hilarious. Yeah, this dude, the Bachelor's 75 or something, and like all these women are like,
how old are the women that they're trying to set the
Bachelor? Same.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no,
okay.
It's not a creepy like everyone else. The women are still 20. Mm-hmm. No, all the ladies are also senior citizens, and like some of them are just fucking wilding out all the time. Like one is a dance instructor, and she did this dance like up on him, and she's 70 years old, and she's just like grinding on him, and she's wearing a unitard.
The Golden Bachelor.
Yeah, it's so good.
All right.
It's so good.
I'm gonna have to check one out. Okay. Morgan, what are you afraid of?
Falling.
Really?
Yeah. I've been having such vivid dreams of falling off of stuff and dying.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the time. Every night, pretty much. It's terrible.
Okay. Does that scare you even more right now? Because like I don't like falling either, but like right now, like it's like wet and rainy outside, and every store you walk into seems like I'm gonna fucking fall.
The falling or from are you thinking just about
like falling off like of from shit. A tower?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So not just every day falling.
No, that's but every time I go off like over a bridge, I'm like, what if my car just like, or what if my brain takes over? Like mm-hmm. Some weird thing in my brain takes over, and I just like go what, does, just drive off of it.
Does flying freak you out?
Sometimes.
You know what I do every time we fly?
But sometimes I kind of wish the plane would go down.
Every time I fly, as we're gradually going up and up, I keep thinking to myself, okay, at this altitude, we probably would still live. Like, I think a lot of us would live.
Yeah.
This altitude, okay, right now everyone's dead. This is, we've officially reached.
And then you got to watch that presentation of what if there's a water landing? I'm like, it's not a fucking water landing. It's a water crash. This plane is going to.
It's a water
fucking
death.
Just like the Titanic, just split right in half. We're not going to use the fucking slides, okay? I'm not going to use the seat as a flotation. I'm dead and my body is the flotation device.
People who are using me as. No, everybody be dead.
Yeah, just. I love those, like, airlines, though.
Okay, all right. Question number four. You're on death row. What's your last meal?
I'm not like a big food person.
I don't think I've ever seen you eat.
I know when people I know I'm being judged right now for like people who are listening. They're like, she's not a fucking food person. What is wrong with her? I've been on this ramen kick, so maybe ramen.
Fuck yeah.
I've been obsessed. It's like soup season.
It's ramen season. Yeah.
I had ramen last night. It was so good.
Do you remember from where?
There's this place in, I forget what it's called. I can't remember anything. Maybe it's early onset dementia.
Oh, shit.
But it's a ramen place in the Palladio in Folsom.
Oh, well, Folsom?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll never go there.
Yeah, no. It's just too far away.
Yeah. But you know, when I first moved here, like, that was the nicest theater, and I had nothing better to do. So I would go to the movies there a lot.
It is a nice theater.
Yeah,
it was a nice theater. And they serve you food in there.
Fuck yeah, and drinks.
Yep.
Yeah. And ice cream.
Oh, I did not know the ice cream thing.
I may have just made that part up.
No, I'm sure they do.
Gelato.
Oh, yeah.
They have gelato.
Fancy.
Well, it's Folsom.
Rich white people ice cream.
Also, it wasn't ice cream. It was, yeah.
The amount of... I think the racism that's so prevalent in rich white communities is so funny because they try to offset it by naming everything like in Spanish or Italian or some fucking other... Like, they never use English. And you're like, oh, you're not racist? Why are you stealing all these words?
Right. Last question, Morgan Anderson. What's next for Morgan Anderson? What's on your horizon? Like, what do you want to get done? And what should we say? 2024? Like, what, you got a big goal for 2024?
To move to LA, to get past at the Comedy Store, go on tour as an opener for a headliner.
Fuck yeah. That'd be dope.
Yeah. My goal is like, HBO special, Netflix special, touring and headlining theaters. And I think that my way of going about doing that is moving to LA, getting past at the store, doing so much there, making friends with a lot of headliners that come through and just live there all the time, and then getting to go on the road way.
Do you like LA? Like just hanging out in LA? You like it?
Yeah, I do. I think every time I go there, it's like such a cool experience. And when I lived there before, I hated it. But that's because I was like crazy and 20 years old and just like.
Also, you weren't doing comedy yet, right?
No, I was just drinking all the time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. Morgan, it's always so nice to see you and just so nice to sit and chat and hang out with. Did we talk about everything you want to talk about? We're leaving anything on the table?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think we're good. All right. We're calling it right here. Thank you, Morgan. Where can they find you on the internet?
Oh, okay. My TikTok and Instagram are both at It's the Morganator, like Terminator.
But the Morganator.
But my name, yeah. And so I mean, I'm on. I don't go on Facebook really, so don't.
When I talk about you, I refer, like, I always start off with It's the Morganator, like and then people look at me funny, and I'm like, Morgan Anderson. They're like, oh yeah.
Someday that's gonna be what people call me.
It's the Morganator or Morgan Anderson,
or just Morganator.
Morganator.
Yeah.
What do you like, Morgs? I called you Morgs earlier today, and I was like, oh shit, I don't know if she likes that.
I don't care.
That.
I don't give a fuck what people call me. I answer to a lot. I answer to Megan too. I don't care.
All right, Megan, let's get out of here.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
It's been a good time.
All right. Bye.
Bye.